Good morning and welcome back to day three of the Pi Data Conference. I'm Chris Randall with Microsoft Learning, here with Brett Cannon. Brett, what are we going to do today?
Well, this is day three of the conference overall, day two of the actual talk tracks, and it's just going to be another great day of talks going from beginning to end across all four tracks.
All right, so what's it take to organize something like this?
Yeah.
It's lack of sleep.
Yeah, other than lack of sleep. So I'm technically the conference chair this year.
Yep.
Luckily, I had a great team backing me up, and I was able to delegate a lot of my work, so that helped a lot.
Key skill, yeah.
Learn how to say you do it. In general, though, basically the way it works is you get together an organizing committee. In our case, we had about, I think, roughly seven people on it, and it starts off by finding a place to hold this.
Right.
So Pi Data is actually a group of conferences under the NumFocus nonprofit that gets held all over the world. So they've had places in London, I think they've done Amsterdam, New York, here in Seattle. And so basically what happens is someone comes forward and says, we want to host and have Pi Data here. So in our case, Microsoft came forward and said, we want to host. That gets the group together and you get the commitment, and then people come forward locally, such as the brand new local Pi Data Seattle group, and say, we want to help organize and make this happen. So those people join the committee. We basically send out a call for papers. Those get sent in along with tutorials. We go through, we rate them, figure out who we think is going to be the best in terms of quality, and if it's their first time or not, whether or not they should get a chance to really express themselves versus people who are also seasoned, try to have a good variety of new people and old people. And just basically best conference we can get. At that point, we make the schedule, and while all this is going on, we are setting up food, entertainment for the social event like we had last night. Basically everything you're used to around the conference, lining up hotels for people who are going to be coming from out of town. And then at the end, you pull down the schedule, hope it looks good, and then a month later, people suddenly start to show up, and you deal with fires as they come along.
Right. Now, we're here in McKinley. We're live casting this, or live streaming, I should say, this one track.
Yes.
There's a couple other tracks.
Yeah, there's four total, actually. So we'll be live streaming the one in McKinley, but there are three other tracks. They're not specifically themed in any way. They're I actually personally had to do the schedule.
Right.
So I tried to just make sure, first time, so hopefully not too bad. But we did our best to basically make sure that the talks in each track didn't necessarily have the same kind of talks. And we tried to make sure like all the machine learning talks weren't all up against each other.
Right.
They were more in a row. So if that's your area of focus, you're able to attend all those talks without issue.
Right. So I'm coming to this as a longtime SQL guy, and data and analytics is what I've been doing for years.
Yep.
It seemed to me that this particular track today was pretty visualization heavy, as is yesterday. Is that just true of Python as a whole these days? I mean, you mentioned not concentrating everything in one track.
Yeah, so basically, data visualization is a big deal,
right?
It's how you communicate your knowledge and the information you gather. So it's a fairly important topic. And we are very lucky in the general Python community and in data science overall, including our community, who we do try to have come and present at PyData. It's not just Python. There's just a lot of libraries,
because
it's somewhat very opinionated. Everyone's trying to make it easier, whether it's
very
easy for the simple case while still being flexible for the harder case, different approaches to APIs, and so there's just a plethora of libraries. So it just leads to a fairly well-covered amount of talks at a given conference such as here, covering all that.
So yesterday's stuff's going to be on demand soon, right?
Yes, I believe in about 2 weeks.
Two weeks?
On top of what was live streamed, I think it's probably already up.
Okay. Anything catch your eye yesterday that we can go back and look at?
Unfortunately,
you don't have to play favorites.
Yeah, no. Part of the problem of being committee chair is I only get to see so many talks. I did really enjoy the diversity panel, although disclaimer, I did end up getting pulled on it at the very last minute. But it was a great conversation with people about dealing with the diversity issue we generally have in our community and in the industry.
Yep.
And ways to deal with it and ways to move forward and how to try to handle that. And I think the turnout was great, and I think the discussion was really good, and I think some good points were made, and it's definitely worth checking out if that's something you're interested in.
Cool. How about today?
Well, today, personally...
Well, I've got dibs on Sir Barks a Lot.
Okay. Yeah, that was a great talk.
It's a great title.
Title's fantastic. Yeah, so for me, the one I'm really interested in is the one on the update on Jupyter Lab.
Right.
So Brian Granger is one of the co-founders and co-creators of Jupyter, mm-hmm. which is the notebook, the overall notebook project for right. Jupyter Notebooks for learning computing. They're coming out with a new version called Jupyter Lab, which is more of an almost IDE-like experience. Mm-hmm. And they haven't quite hit beta yet. I believe they just did a release yesterday. And Brian Stock's going to be an update with other members of the team right. about how things are going. And
we'll be talking to Brian here in the hot seat.
Today. Yes, that's true. Yeah, yep. You'll have Brian yep. Interviewed during lunch, I believe.
I think so.
And I'm really looking forward to that because I personally love the project. I'm a big supporter of it. And
sure.
I'm just really curious to see how far along they've gone and the kind of technical challenges they've had to solve
right.
to try to make that all work.
And then one more question for you.
Sure.
What are you doing here at Microsoft and how does Python play into that?
Yeah, so I've been at Microsoft now about 2 years. Mm-hmm. I've been a core developer on the Python language itself, the open source project, for about 14 years. Mm-hmm. And so when I came and joined Microsoft, I basically took a position of getting to work on Python itself one day a week, which I love. And then the rest of my time, I basically am a consultant, more or less, at Microsoft. So if a team decides they want to use Python, whether it's internally or externally, mm-hmm. They come talk to me, we set up a meeting, we talk, I explain how Python works, how the community functions, how best to approach it, and how to participate. And then usually I walk them through general guidelines on how to do API design mm-hmm. and how to best make sure that whatever they are using Python for, they're able to put their best foot forward to the community. And then various things such as our Python SDK for Azure. I work very closely with Laurent, who's on my team, to make sure that keeps working. And it's just a perpetual just discussion with people to make sure that they're doing the best they can to help the Python community so that the Python community can get the best they can from Microsoft.
Sure. And how's that received generally across Microsoft?
It's been very good, actually. People are always surprised when I say I work on the Python team at Microsoft, because everyone always thinks .NET, but Microsoft pretty much wants everyone to be happy as a developer, and if that means using Python, they do their best to try to make sure the Python users and the community feel welcome. And so the reception has definitely been really good, and it's been, I've noticed, picking up a lot in the past year mm-hmm. since I've joined, so I think it's definitely going in a good direction, and pickup's actually increased a lot, so.
Excellent.
All going a great way, I think.
All right. So we got a big day ahead of us.
Yeah, another great day. Tiring for me, but I hope everyone so far seems to have really enjoyed it. Lots of great comments from everyone on enjoying Microsoft at the campus and
the
food and everything. Social event was fantastic last night, so I think it's turned out to be a really good conference.
All right. And you and I are going to meet back up at the end of the day and
close it out.
Close it out.
Yep.
All right. Good.
Hopefully I won't feel too exhausted by that.
we'll prop you in the chair and make sure you don't fall.
Maybe we'll get some duct tape to keep me up.
Right. All right. So what do we got coming up next?
We got the keynote from Joseph, and then there's multiple talks, including your favorite, your most look forward to, Sir Barks-a-Lot.
Right. I'm a dog guy. I just love the name.
It's totally okay. So basically, just more great talks all throughout the live stream, and hopefully everyone back out there and here will be enjoying it and getting what they need out of it.
All right. Looking forward to it. Now we just need to wait for the big day to start.
I know.
Let's go.